A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Coming up on TMS, the audience is naked.
Twirly fish sandwiches.
Super long-haired sausage dogs.
Keep on CPAPing.
Orlando, we have a problem.
Dinosaurs from the dinosaur times.
Two men enter, one man leaves alive, and the other still leaves but in a bag or something.
We all went body blow.
Lady Ibeth.
Shut up, I already voted.
Which wave exposed you to ska?
Paying to have things put in my mouth.
A wife with COVID is a roommate.
Canvas flat-footed whatevers.
Hanandler bong.
Calling all angels with Stephen and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
This is one of the program cartridges you snap into new Telstar Arcade, the three-way microprocessor console. Start with this roaring road race. Gun the throttle. Faster. A crash. Score.
The Morning Stream. Get your ass to Mars.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Monday, May 23rd, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Brian Ibbett. Hi.
Hi, Scott. Welcome back from the weekend.
Thanks, man. The weekend was... Sure, it sure happened. Sure had one.
Yeah. Could you feel your face after this weekend?
Yeah, I can feel my face. Nothing really crazy happened other than, you know, my wife got home, so that was good.
Oh, I bet that was nice.
Yeah, safe and sound. No COVID. A couple of tests later, all good. She's got...
Rub it in, Scott.
Well,
thanks a lot for that.
Well, and the other thing is, like, you know, people tend to show symptoms after their...
That's true, yeah.
And even tests don't work then.
Test in like 7 days and then let me know how stuff is going.
Yeah,
all right?
Then I'll let you know how that is. Anyway, so it's fine. It was a fine weekend. I even did a show with you guys. We did Film Sack. That was fun.
We did. Had a great Film Sack talking about...
We got bumped though because you had
some. Was we talked about?
You had some weird power outage issues. That was crazy.
We had a heavy spring snow in end of May, which is very late for us. I mean, we've had it before. It's not, you know, Colorado's weird like that. We get the snow all different times of year.
Yeah.
But this one was really, really heavy and knocked out power to like 70,000 people in Denver. Tina's mom. For I think 2 days, 48 hours, she was without power. Mm. My mom was without power for a few days, and I was without power intermittently throughout the entire evening of Friday night into Saturday, and then into Saturday morning. And this is how it would go: the power would go out, which is usually no big deal, except people out there who have a CPAP. Know what it's like to all of a sudden have your air cut off and you're like,
oh, I hadn't even considered that. That's a thing.
Yes, that is a thing. And boy, oh boy, does that wake you up. We counted, I think, 10 times overnight, Friday night into Saturday, that power cut out for a few minutes. And when it comes back on, our alarm system says, hey, your power is back on. Just want to let you know. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't say it like that. It says it like this. Woo! Oh. That's how it says it, actually.
Convenient. Yeah. How convenient and non-obtrusive that is.
Yes.
That
sound. So basically, I get woken up with my CPAP, you know, saying, no more air for you, air for you.
Yeah.
And then a few minutes later, I get woken up by the alarm system saying, hey, power's back on, everybody, power's back on.
That's a lot. That's a lot to deal with in the middle of the night.
Then Saturday morning, we had film sack, and power was still going in and out. And, you know, it would have been, I would have already been in like a frazzled mood anyway with film sack.
Yeah.
Had we not still been having power outages?
Yeah.
The half hour before film sack started, I think there was like six outages still. And those were blips, but it was a blip enough to kill internet for 5 minutes.
Yeah, because you got to reboot it. Well, everything has to reset. And
everything has to reset. And DSL takes a long freaking time to connect and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
Lame. Yeah, it. Oh my God, it was horrendous. I probably could use a UPS for the CPAP. That's not a bad idea. I've got one on my computers here so that if power goes out, it can save all my work and stuff like that. Right. But
shut down normally. But won't it still wake you up? I guess it would wake you up with less of a jolt to your breathing, you know?
It would wait, right, exactly. Like, yeah, I don't know if everybody's does this, but my uninterruptible power supply beeps when the power goes out. It still provides power. But it says beep, like you're running on battery. Beep.
Mine does beep, that too, as beep. Well. But yeah. You would get a beep. It would wake you up. That is way better than stopping oxygen from going
and
to
not
your
being able to breathe. Yeah. Well. Yeah. And it's exactly.
I would think. I mean, I'm trying to think of the of the two. What would I find more annoying? I think it's the cutting off of air. I would. Find
yeah,
more
it probably
annoying.
Would be the cutting off of air. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, if that happens, my mouth opens and I just start breathing normally. It's just the fact that it's forcing air through my nose that keeps my mouth closed when I sleep and keeps me from snoring.
Keeps you from CPAPing or whatever that thing is. The term is
from apnea.
Apnea. Happening, something like that.
Happening.
Well,
but, rough night. Really, it was like a sociology experiment where, like, scientists are behind glass, seeing what it's like to wake somebody up every 90 minutes and see how long it takes them to crack. Basically.
Damn. Well, we were glad to have finally recorded Sunday. So if you all didn't get it yet, you should. It was a great episode about the board game based film Battleship.
Yes, which boy oh boy, it felt like we were watching people play the board game. There's so much connection to the game Battleship with the movie Battleship.
There's
it's amazing.
Like literally two references. One is when they're sitting there pretending like they're sort of being strategic, I guess is sort of like the game.
Yeah.
And then the part where the enemy missiles are all shaped like the pegs from the game. Then I guess, it's an interesting... It's weird because I really enjoy that movie, but I think the fact that it's based on a board game actually hurts it.
Yeah, I think so.
And if you took that away and didn't change a thing, it would be nobody
be totally fine. It would be a Bruckheimer Bay film that just happens to be by Peter Berg.
Yeah,
it's Peter really Berg. Weird.
Peter Berg. All right, I got a quick question for you. Saw watched some TV show and this thing happened, and I realized, I've seen that a million times, and I've never really questioned it before. But how many times in a movie or TV show have we seen this trope of somebody who's got to talk to somebody? Let's say, in fact, they did it in that movie Taylor Kitsch needs to talk to his girlfriend's dad about asking her to marry him.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah. So he can take the Neeson daughter away. So she'll be taken. Anyway, so what he does is he gets in front of a mirror and he practices how he's going to say it. And then messes it up, does it 50 other times, is super frustrated with how it sounds, doesn't like it. And I realized I've seen this in a million billion movies where they just are in a mirror pretending like, it's the job interview.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I brought you all here today. No, I'm going to try. Let me try a different approach.
Yes.
Webster's Dictionary defines meeting as a group of people. I'm not going to do that one.
Yeah, you're right on the money there. And every show, every movie, I swear, has a scene.
Yeah.
Something like
feels
this.
Like it. Feels like it. Feels like, you're right, exactly.
So my question to you is, and to the audience and anyone else who wants to answer this, has anyone ever effing done this ever in their life, like where they've stood in front of a mirror because they had a big job interview or they wanted to meet a girl for the first time or whatever the thing was, where they got in front of a mirror and practiced over and over what they were going to say. Has anyone ever actually done this?
Or I'll bet you actors have, right? Because when they're doing, like, they sit in front of that big mirror with the makeup stuff, they're applying their makeup and that sort of thing, and I imagine a lot of people have done that. I've never done it. Well, I did it once, and then I imagined my audience naked, so I imagined myself naked, and then I said, oh, no, I'm not doing this ever again.
Yeah, that's a real Inception kind of problem there, where you're all naked.
It really is a real problem. Yeah, exactly.
You don't want that. So you've done it. You've never done it. I've never done it. I'm not saying that that means, well, no one does it, but I'm just curious how common it must be. Like, some in the chat are saying, yeah, I've done it. I've never even been, like, in a car where I'm, like, going over stuff in my head and going, how are you, Mr. Wilson? How are you, Mr. Wilson? you know, like that. I don't do that. So maybe actors do. Chat's saying actors do
it. Fantastic. Does as an actor. Yeah, I mean, you do you act and you also do stand up and stuff, and I imagine you probably practice like timing and stuff like that too, right? You'll say something and you kind of look at your expression to say, all right, you know, like, is this the right expression I should give after I say that funny line, and
right,
that sort of thing.
That makes sense. But have you ever done it where, you know, it was to prepare to talk to somebody else and it wasn't just a reading of lines? You know what I mean? I just don't think people do it. But the movies...
No, I do it, Red Fraggle, the time I do it is in the car. Totally. Like, if I'm driving to a client meeting that I'm not nervous about, but, like, just kind of eager, anxious about, I'll say, you know, maybe practice a couple things I'm going to say, but really, you know?
I never do this.
I can't think.
Maybe I should be doing it. Maybe it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, it's a problem, Scott. I think we all are. This is really our way of saying we'd like for you to start doing that.
Okay. All right.
It feels like you show up to these things and you haven't practiced.
I barely know my lines. I have to ask for lines.
Exactly.
Line. Yes. Oh, sorry. It's email time. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's really weird. Yeah, I guess in your head. I guess I've done that. Mm-hmm. In my head, I'm like thinking about the scenario I'm about to do or something.
I'll say this. Speaking of film, Zach, I do that a lot with my film sec intros. I mean, I do a read through just to make sure it sounds good, because I do it on paper first and I read it through and I you know, do it. Obviously, we don't stream film sec or record video with it at all. So I don't do it in front of a mirror, or in front of a camera, or anything.
Right.
But I do a practice run through. This last film sec intro, I probably did 12 run-throughs to get the lyrics and stuff down.
People just have to hear
what that is.
But. Yeah, you guys need to hear it, because it was not what. Let's just say it this way. Mm-hmm. Brian brought the heat. Okay.
Thanks.
Let's put it that way. It was very good.
I love doing those, and I worry that if I were to do them as much as I wanted to do them, people would really get sick of them. But I'll be honest, when I found out the movie was going to be Battleship, I actually had that. I had film sacking Battleship already in my head before I wrote any of the other lyrics, before we even watched the movie. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to do this as a... I think I'm going to
oh,
do
yeah,
this
y'all
as
should as go hear it. It was good. It was really good. And I agree with your cadence. You should do it as, you know, you don't
sparingly,
do it every time, but enough to be where people look forward to it.
Right.
I think that's good.
Because my God, oh... If I have to hear Brian Dunaway's whole, oh, hi. I'm just kidding.
He has a pattern, doesn't he, though? I guess
Brian
we all
Dunaway's
do.
Is the best.
Yeah,
yes.
And Brian and Randy's got his, my three easy steps.
I got three simple rules for how to do a Southern accent. Step one.
Everybody does their thing. It's totally fine.
We've all got their thing.
Real quick, speaking of things, Runtfish in the chat /audience sent me something which I think is great. I wanted to play it here. She basically said, hey, I want to do the thing that Bobby told us to do last week. So Bobby, here's your big science test for today. She's out running, which I'll let her explain how this works. This is Runtfish on a run. Okay, here you go.
Hey, so I'm running. I run every day. It's been almost 30 years every single day, and I heard Bobby saying the phrase, so here goes. Hey, it's too early to get a fish sandwich. Love you guys. Bye.
See, I think she passes. She did it.
She passes. There might have been a little run through. Like, some of those words weren't enunciated very specifically, but no, I'm kidding.
Did she get the hey too early? Let's see. Too early.
Saying the phrase, so here goes. Hey, it's too early. Do you have a fish sandwich?
I don't know. Maybe
true,
she...
True, yeah.
Twirly,
you'll get a fish sandwich.
Yeah, twirly, you'll get a fish sandwich. Anyway, that was good. Outrunning.
That was very good. That was very good. And kudos to her.
Yeah, yeah. How's Tina? I heard news.
Tina's got the COVID. No. Yeah, we're trying to figure it out. You know, you always sit there and you trace it back. Like, you cold case it, or you CSI it. Like, all right. And you even visualize the time travel-y thing that CSI used to do.
Sure.
Well, maybe we do that because we're video-holics.
Yeah.
But we think it came from a neighbor, not crazy neighbor, but neighbor across the way, who tested positive on Wednesday or Thursday, maybe even earlier. No, I think it was even earlier, like Monday or Tuesday they let us know. And we had just had them over to our house Friday for a, wine happy hour thing where we drank wine. We helped set up the neighbor's ginormous pool.
Oh, that was pool night.
That was pool night. Those crazy Dave nights. So, like, we first sat there. We had some wine, some chips, salsa, cheese, stuff like that. And then we went over and massively assembled the pool. And pretty sure that's when she passed it along. Now, here's the crazy thing. I've been testing. I tested again this morning. A new test. It was weird. Usually we get those little ones with the plastic trays.
Yeah.
And you swab, then you put the swab in the liquid, you shake it up, and then you drip three drips into the one end of the tray, and then the other part of the tray has the pregnancy symbols on it, right?
Right, yeah. About half of ours are that, yeah.
Well, are the other half a little test strip that you drop into a tube?
Yeah, and you hold it, you put it in the tube for a minute or something like that. I forget how long.
Yeah, we haven't done that. Today was the first time I've done one like that. And it's interesting. It's a whole different, like, it's really more, it feels more like a pregnancy test because you can't see it until you pull the tube. The tube is opaque enough that when you put the test strip in there, you can't quite see if you're going to have lines. The other one, you can watch and, oh, bad boy, that line better disappear.
Yeah, no kidding.
But the other one, it's like, it is total mystery until it's like, boink.
Yep. It's a little more of a surprise package when you do that one.
It is. It totally is. But, I tested negative again. I have not kissed my wife in like a week.
Oh, man.
Like, you know, we've been, we're roommates right now, basically.
Yeah. No kidding. Well, I'm glad it seems mild so far for her. That's good.
She's over. She basically had cold symptoms, started up Tuesday afternoon, and then full-on felt like she had a cold Thursday, took the day off of work, and has been getting better. She's, you know, to put in my parlance, she's probably back up to about 90% today. She seemed like she just had a little lingering cough kind of thing. So
that's really good to hear.
Yeah, but time-wise, like, well, good for her, right? She got it out of the way before we rush off to Philly, but we're going to Philly this weekend for a couple days, and...
Oh, right. Be a good time to be done with COVID.
It'd be a good time for me not to get it now.
Yeah.
Like, let's hope that maybe I dodged a bullet, or I had it already and didn't know it, or something.
The propensity for these.
It feels like I would have had to have had it, because, I mean, we're in close proximity still.
You easily could have, and we're asymptomatic. It's totally possible.
Yeah,
totally. I'm kind of the same. Like, how did I sit next to Ducey in freaking Vegas and have him yell rules in my face the whole time and not get his version
sticking,
of COVID?
You know, tweezering little tabs onto our tongues to see how we taste.
Yeah, I don't know how that worked, how we got away with it. But the one
person that put something in my mouth in Vegas had COVID.
That's right. The one, just the one. It was all Brian Howe was the one person.
That's right.
Okay? Not a normal trip to Vegas where there's three or four.
Not a normal trip to Vegas. Just one person put something in my mouth.
But you and I are we are at the tail end of a big Battle Royale game. Okay?
You and I are?
Yeah. That circle is closing. So my daughter, son-in-law, and grandbaby all have it. And Taylor had it worse than any of them because they can't do any. She can't really take stuff because she's pregnant. So she's just dealing with that. And she is doing better. Van got it and is just having like a major kid cold from it. And then Dylan had it pretty bad. He was like laid out for about 5 days, but he's also doing better. Mm-hmm. And somehow we haven't gotten it. So I feel like that circle's closing. We're getting to the end of the match. 100 start, only two remain. It'll be Brian and I, and then one of us will get it, and then that'll
I know.
Be
it's basically declare the winner. That's what it's going to come down to. Yeah.
That's how it feels. Yeah, Van got it. It was kind of impossible for him not to. His parents both had it, so he was, you know, what's he going to do?
How's he doing with it? Or just like a cold for him as well? I know
just kind of a cold. Nothing like massively bad, but like, you know, when a kid gets a really bad sort of cough at night kind of deal, he's got that.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh, that stinks.
So hopefully that passes quickly. He's getting another test tomorrow to see. So we have this logistics problem. Taylor is now testing negative, so she's through it. Mm-hmm. But she has to go get an ultrasound tomorrow that's scheduled for the baby, and she doesn't want to miss it. So the goal is tomorrow she's going to have the baby tested again, or Van tested again, and if he shows clean, then we're watching him.
Then you'll watch Van while
If he's not, then she's going to have to change her appointment, which is hard because her pediatrician happens to be hard to lock down on. He's overscheduled right now. So anyway, it's a long story, but
jeez.
It'll all work out in the end. You guys, everyone's, you know, been pretty good. We're all triple vaxxed and boosted. What else can you do? We just do what you can do, right?
All right. Yeah, it's all you can do.
Real quick note here that before we get to Battle Royale today, no TMS tomorrow, okay? Tuesday is out. The reason is I'm having a bone removed from my jaw. Because that is what teeth are. They're bones.
Mm-hmm. They are. They're just bones that are stuck in your jaw. And
I'm having one removed. It's an old the one that I only had three wisdom teeth removed. I have a fourth that just never got pulled, and that's coming out. So
it's finally he's survived his own battle royale.
Yeah. And 26 teeth started, or however many.
Four teeth enter, three teeth leave.
Yeah. And I look, if
this is the other way around.
Yeah. If this thing was before the show, we'd be doing a show. If it was after the show, we'd be doing a show. But it's literally during the show is when this is happening. So I don't actually expect it to be too horrible. It's just
Hold on a second. Thunderdome, right? The whole two men enter, one man leave.
Yeah.
Technically, the dead person is still leaving the dome. He's just not leaving on his own 2 feet alive, right?
What the? I've never thought of it that way. You're right.
This is really two men enter, two men leave, one of them in a bag.
Yeah, one's dead.
Yeah.
And two men enter, one dies.
We need the rhyming Monty Hall, Hunchback Monty Hall, to adjust his rhyme.
What it probably means is two men enter, one man leaves of his own accord.
Yeah,
his own steam.
Change the chant. Yeah. Change the little Burning Man chant.
Yeah, who runs Bartertown? Get that done. Get that done.
Exactly. Well, it's really a committee that runs Bartertown, but it's headed up by Master Blaster.
By the way, I'm glad you brought this up. Did you know that George Miller had a whole other movie coming out?
No, not till we talked about it last week. I think you brought up this.
Did I bring this up again? I'm losing my mind. I had no idea this 3,000 Years of Longing movie was even being made. Yeah. I didn't know who was in it.
Swinton and Idris Elba. That's who was it we were talking about? Who said you had me at Idris Elba and then you had me at Tilda Swinton? I can't remember.
Oh, I don't know. We were talking to somebody. I do remember this conversation.
I remember you saying that. I just don't remember who.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Glenn.
Oh, was it Gwen? Oh, it was Gwen. That's what it was. I'm still reeling from this.
I knew it was a woman. I was like, well, it wasn't Amy. It was earlier than Amy.
Than Amy. Yep. We should do another segment.
Oh, no, it was no Amy saying it was her. Wait, hold on.
Oh, look.
Two TMS.
Two women enter.
Yeah.
One leaves of their own steam.
Right. Exactly.
Well, anyway, I still can't get my head around this. I'm so excited. I don't even know what to. I don't know what to expect. I know nothing about it except that trailer looks insane. It looks insane. Like it's not Mad Max insane. You know, it's clearly not a Mad Max spinoff. It's something very much its own thing.
Oh, its own total.
Yeah, but what they're showing in that trailer? What the frick? Like, if you haven't seen it, Chad, or anyone listening to me, go stop what you're doing and watch that trailer. It is whack. I'm very excited. Oh my gosh. That might get me to a theater, and I don't like theater. Let's move on. Let's do some game. Let's have some game.
Let's do that.
Yeah, I don't see why not. It'd be good if I had Brian already dialed here, but give me a second here, everyone. Oh, shit, that's why I'm not on TMS. Okay, here we go. Add friends to this DM. Dunaway is the guy. We're adding him now. Here he comes. He's on his way. And when he gets here, I'll hit this button that plays music. Welcome to the Babel Royale Tad Pooley Half Asses Morning Edition thing. Hey, Brian Dunaway, what are you doing, buddy?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi. How are you? How's your day? What are you doing? Your work? Everything's fine? You're good?
Well, yeah. Today's a rainy day. We haven't had a rainy day in a while.
Yeah?
And I don't know how to feel about it.
You were due. You were due for a rainy day.
Yeah, rainy days and all Sundays.
Were there things that you had saved for a rainy day that you're now able to take out and use? Because you said, oh, I'll save this for a rainy day.
Oh, yeah, rain check.
No, I never go outside anyway, so it usually is, you know, it's nothing anyway.
It's nothing, yeah.
It might affect, where's my umbrella? That's about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My wife came home from your end of the country, and she's got like 8 bug bites that are way bigger than they're supposed to be, and that's because she was in the South.
It's because the bugs are bigger than they're supposed to be.
Yeah. One of them was a, what you call it? Some kind of fly, not a horse fly.
Right.
Shoot.
A no-see-um?
No, it's like a giant freaking.
Was it a chigger?
No,
a
no chiggers.
Fly?
No chigger. What'd you call it?
A dragonfly?
No, not a dragonfly. Ah, frick. She told me and I
forgot. A George McFly?
Deer fly. That's it. A deer fly.
Deer fly.
Oh, yeah. Deer fly. Those are terrible.
Those are George horrible McFly. Beasts. They're horrendous creatures. Just and bit her on the leg, and she's got like a giant bruise from it. It's horrible. So yeah,
I was changing a
Spanish fly.
Yeah, Spanish fly. That's it. Nailed it.
I was changing a carburetor out on my mother-in-law's lawn tractor yesterday. And
shut up.
I'm,
well, hold on a second before you even go further. You were changing out a carburetor on a lawn tractor. That's a thing Brian Dunaway can do.
That's cool.
Yeah, small engine, no problem. I can do this.
Really?
Right. Yeah, I got skills. I'm going to survive. I'm a survivalist.
You are a survivalist.
Like Punch Out and Donkey Kong Jr. 3. I did not know this was a.
Oh, I do different things. But the point is, I'm not going to survive because I was trying to do that, and one of those little bitty tiny, no bigger than a speck of dirt jumping spiders decided he would come check me out. And those things freak me out.
Yeah, they're nasty.
Because they're so fast.
Yeah, nobody wants those. Brian, did you say Punch Out knowing that tomorrow we're doing Punch Out Dunaway?
I kind of did, yeah, because Brian almost skipped Film Sack so that he could play Punch Out, is the way I understand it.
Yeah.
I didn't have to. I did both.
Okay, good. Body blow. Well done.
It's funny, that's where we all went.
We all went body blow. That's what you do. You go body blow. All right, well.
We're men.
Well, awesome. So let's get into it here today. Brian, you want to explain this and how it works and what's going on?
Yes, I will. Welcome to the Morning Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm going to be giving you two, the answers. I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian.
The band stays behind.
I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian a category and 6 possible answers, 3 of which are correct and 3 that are incorrect. Follow along, Claire. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide 1, 2, or 3 guesses. But if they get any wrong, they get 0 points for that round. If they guess 1 and get it right, they get a point. Guess 2 and get them right, you get 3 points. And if you guess all 3 correctly, you get 5 points for that round.
Whoa.
The player with the most points after 3 rounds wins the prize for their contestant, and contestants will be pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Hey, do you see those names down there in the spreadsheet?
Let's see here.
Me
no.
neither.
Oh, nope.
So here's who you're playing for. You're going to be playing for... right there.
Body blow.
Body blow.
Oops, hold on a second.
That was the warehouse manager, by the way, at Nintendo of America, who was doing those.
He did the body blow?
That voiceover. Yeah, yeah. They polled around the office to see who could do the voice, and he did the best.
Body blow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Really, I love that.
So that voice could normally yell, I need a, a forklift over here in the third rack of the thing, he could say, because he's the warehouse manager. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. And then he would punch him in the gut and say, body blow.
Body blow.
Body blow.
That's great.
Body blow. All right. Scott, you're going to be playing for Wabbit. Wabbit Magic in Portland, Oregon.
Nice.
Brian, you're going to be playing for Gerald LaForest from Minnesota, you betcha.
Oh, that's great. We love Minnesota. That's where Wendy is.
So he's a Frenchman in Minnesota? Is that what I'm getting?
Gerald LaForest from Minnesota.
Okay. Sounds like it.
All right.
That's kind of funny, actually, now that you say that.
Yeah.
The prizes today are, the winner is going to get a copy of Quantum Break and Metro Exodus for Steam.
Oh, very good
games. But the runner-up is going to get Back 4 Blood, which I think is the fourth installation of the Back 4 Blood series. No, I don't know. It might be.
No, but you're not far off. So Back 4 Blood is developed and made by X developers who made the Left 4 Dead series, Left 4 Dead 1 and 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
So they basically made a spiritual sequel to those games, and it's very good. Back 4 Blood is excellent. Today. Yeah, these are all really, really good games. So,
oh, no kidding. Wabbit Magic is in the chat room, which means he should not have filled out this form. So, Scott, instead, you're going to be playing for. I'm just kidding.
That's totally fine. You just don't get to call in Wabbit Magic. That's the rule.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Thanks,
right.
Peter.
Well, let's do
all
it.
All right, let's get to the game here. Let's give you your first category and six possible answers. We're starting off with history. Attendees at Martin Luther King Jr.'s 1963 March on Washington. So these were, I want you to tell me the three of these six people who were there and attended Martin MLK Jr.'s March on Washington in 1963. Your choices are Charlton Heston, Henry Fonda, Maya Angelou, Rosa Parks, Eleanor Roosevelt, and Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, man.
These all feel like a trick.
Well,
every one of them feels like it's a trick.
Sure,
I can't see Charlton Heston just because, I don't know, he was kind of an ass. And Eleanor Roosevelt?
But he's all about freedom too, though. So, I mean, he's only an ass because of the gun thing, right?
Right. He's an NRA ass.
Right. But that's not necessarily...
No. I know. I realize that. Ass. But it wasn't
not
just...
necessarily a racist ass. He's just a gun fanatic ass.
Yeah, there was something else with him, though. I don't remember what it was. Can't remember. I don't know. I'm too nervous to click.
These are impossible. I'm just going to click on two of the names you would think.
Okay.
And then be wrong.
Look at you guys. You locked in with exactly the same two answers. You guys both thought Henry Fonda... And I can't hear the loons. And Sammy Davis Jr. One of those is right. The other one is wrong. Sammy Davis Jr. was there. Charlton Heston really was there, along with Rosa Parks.
Frick.
But Henry Fonda,
Maya Angelou, and Eleanor Roosevelt not in attendance.
I think Maya Angelou would have been too young.
Too young, maybe.
Yeah.
63,
yeah.
Rosa
Parks felt like... bait.
Early 20s, I think.
Early 20s. Not sure she had hit her stride yet.
And Rosa Parks, you know, my first thought was, was Rosa Parks alive in 19... She would have been.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
she was.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just thought it would be...
It happened almost near the same time, didn't it?
To me, I separate it, though. I separate it in time, and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It's decades.
Once again,
apart.
It felt like bait. I was like,
it was baity.
Two on the nose.
Yeah. It was baity. All right,
well,
all right.
Let's get
so 0-0.
Question number two, bubble, bubble, toil and trouble. Six answers. Three of these are actual witch's brew ingredients from Shakespeare's Macbeth. You know, where that comes from, bubble, bubble, toil and trouble. And then they say, and then they throw things, they add things to the cauldron and...
I should know this, but I've experienced so much BS since then based on this.
Right, exactly.
Now I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for them to update Macbeth so I can run it on Silicon.
I know, right? Man, that thing. They're not going to let us run Rosetta 2 forever. Get on it.
Exactly.
Jeez Louises. All right.
I'm going to update it to iBeth.
iBeth. There you go.
I'm jabbing things now. I'm just jabbing and selecting. There we go.
All right.
Bunny blow.
I actually feel pretty good about these two sources.
Oh, well, good. Good for you.
Yeah. I don't feel good enough for three, but
Claire, it's not saying it three times. It's not like
Candyman.
It's you don't say it to an actor before they're about to go out or something, right?
Isn't that the deal?
You don't say break a leg.
Oh
no, you don't say good luck. You don't say good luck to an actor. You say break a leg. There's something with Macbeth. You don't say it in a theater. That's it, Gwen. Thank you. Yes, it's not Beetlejuice.
What if you do
too many rules?
You do GLHF. Good luck, have fun. That's what you do.
I just don't say anything to anybody.
Yeah, just don't say anything. That's a good rule.
Right, exactly. All right, cool.
Let's see how we did.
Let's see how you guys did. Oh, one of you is getting some points. Both said Scott, Eye of Newt, which is correct. Of course, Eye of Newt is the most famous ingredient they throw into the deal. Scott said Tongue of Dog. Brian said Milk of Rat. The answers are Eye of Newt, Tongue of Dog, and Gall of Goat.
Gall of Goat? I was sure that wasn't it.
Like the gallbladder, I guess, of a goat.
But all right. I thought it was too many syllables. Of the goat.
I came very close to Milk of Rat. Just because it's so weird, and I thought, well, I probably just haven't heard it in a while. I'm glad I didn't do it. That is why you picked it, probably.
Yeah.
All right.
So we got Scott with 3 points, Brian with zero. Oh my gosh! No. It comes down to the final question. Love this one. Disney princesses. Three of these are Disney princesses. Three of them are not. Okay. Your choices are Alice, Aurora, Anastasia, Tiana, Merida, and Tinkerbell. Now, if you want any chance of winning, Brian, you need
to go for...
Okay, all right.
I can't remember if some of these got locked into that or not.
Right.
Shit. And Anastasia's not even Disney.
Thanks for the clue.
Well, you already locked in, so you don't care where you're doing. All right, I think I like my answers. All right.
Okay. All right.
I like my answers.
Let's see. One of you said Aurora, Tiana, and Merida as your answers. Mm-hmm. And those are exactly right.
And then the other one said the same thing. And we both did. Scott wins.
It's exactly right. Yeah, you both said Aurora, Tiana, and Merida. Yeah. Anastasia is a 20th century Fox princess. Tinkerbell is not, and neither is Alice. She's just a girl in a blue dress. That's all she is.
Yeah. Plus, Alice is from a previous. I guess there's other things from previous stories before Disney got a hold of them, but that one just never felt right. Why would you ever make her a princess?
Yeah, she wouldn't be. Yeah. Congratulations going to Scott, and by proxy, Wabbit Magic, you are getting Quantum Break and Metro Exodus for Steam, courtesy of Wesley. And Gerald LaForest, you are getting Back 4 Blood. So listen, everyone's a winner.
Yeah, there's no losers today, except Brian Dunaway. No. He's the only loser, really.
Hey!
I mean, technically. I don't mean, in the most... I don't mean it in the,
I got to play a game and hang out with you guys, so technically...
Okay, then you win, too.
Technically, we're all winners.
Everyone's a winner, especially Brian Ibbitt is what I meant to say. Or Brian Dunaway is what I meant to say.
Especially.
Well, anyway, hey, Brian Dunaway, tomorrow we're talking all about that body blow business.
Body blow. We're going to play Punch Out.
Yeah.
We're talking about that and a couple other boxing games that... you may or may not have played.
Yeah, also the weird differences between the arcade Punch-Out and the home version of Punch-Out and Super Punch-Out. And when did
Mike Tyson did a thing, and then they took it back, and then... Yeah.
Yep. And Glass Joe and why he's the worst character in the history of the planet, that sort of stuff.
He's not the worst character.
He's pretty
fun.
Bad. Glass Joe's pretty stupid. I mean, he's literally he's made of glass. You can break him, is the point.
At some point, does Mike Tyson bite somebody's ear off? I guess it wasn't Mike Tyson's until later on, right?
That happened after the game was released.
Yeah, he bit.
Punch Out was always Mike Tyson?
It started out as Punch Out. It wasn't going to be Mike Tyson. They decided to partner with Mike Tyson, and then he was, the first release on the NES was the Mike Tyson, and then they took him out.
But he didn't bite that ear off for years and years and years later, right?
Yeah, that I know.
Yeah. So it's a weird thing. It's also
weird history, and I can't wait to learn more about it.
Don't forget about, and you may have even forgotten about Super Punch Out. Remember those Punch Out? And there was Super Punch Out in the arcade.
No, I remember Super Punch Out.
I totally remember Super Punch Out.
Had that cool translucent fighter body. that you would play through.
Yes. Oh, that wasn't in the original. I thought for some reason that was in the original.
Mm. You know, the old 8-bit one was like little tiny dude down in front.
That's right.
Yeah. And you had to jump up to punch people.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Wait until you hear what Donkey Kong has to do with Punch-Out.
You won't believe these 11 things you didn't know about Super Punch-Out.
Yep. We're going to teach you all of it. So that's tomorrow, 3:30 Mountain Time. Frogpants.tv is the place to be. And by then, my mouth should not be numb anymore, and I'll probably be in a lot of pain. It'll be great. I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be great. It'll be so much fun.
Glass Joe.
Yeah. And then I'll be Glass Joe for sure then. Hey, Brian Dunaway, kiss our butts, and we'll see you soon. Bye now. All right. I was hoping to cut him off on a...
Would have been nice. You tried, Scott.
I'm always trying. Not always succeeding, but not always trying. All right, here's this. Time for some news brought to you by...
Soundography, a brand new episode going up this morning, right after the show. The third wave of ska, a band called The Toasters. We had a sponsored episode, a person on Patreon supported the show at a level that lets them make us listen to an entire catalog of a band. Yes, it's a cruel fate for Hammond and I, but we did it. Mm. This one I was happy to do, though. Toasters, great ska band. Hammond and I talk all about that third wave of ska band, The Toasters.
I didn't know there was a third wave even. That's interesting. Yeah. What wave are we on now? Is it we have no waves right now, right?
We have no wave of ska, yeah. Third wave is the most recent. It's like the early 90s, 80s. But first wave is like Prince Buster and stuff like that. I think that was first wave. Second wave.
So the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, where do they fit?
They're still a third wave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the wave I probably think of is the one where I was exposed to ska is probably third wave. Yes, all that stuff. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we got a little bit of it in the 80s, second wave, with stuff like English Beat and Specials.
Yeah.
Specials are probably a really good definition of a good second wave.
Well, that sounds like a good episode to check out because you'll go into that and so much more. So check that out. Soundography, everyone. We got a viral TikTok in the house. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It shows a pile of new bikes in a Target dumpster. This seems like a waste.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on here with Target, and they're throwing away shit. Despite the difficulty of getting new bikes these days, because they are kind of rare. People are having a hard time getting bikes. Yeah. Everything's shortage of everything right now. Target is apparently not suffering from the same supply chain issues as the rest of the industry. So much so, in fact, a viral video of an alleged Target dumpster in Ohio shows at least a dozen new bikes being tossed. The TikTok video posted by dumpster_fines.
That is a pretty specific TikTok video, like a user, right? You know what you're going to get with this one.
Yeah, I wonder what this guy focuses on. I'll bet it's
Half-eaten burrito. Here's a good one.
See, that's the thing, is I'll bet most of their posts are boring, but this one is like, whoa,
How many posts do you think they have where they're getting tetanus shots?
Oh, that's a really good point. How often are they getting back to the clinic after a rough week of dumpster finds?
Exactly, yes.
Let's see. This happened back in April, sparked a bunch of outrage in recent days as commenters called out Target for tossing bikes rather than donating them.
Yeah.
Nearly 300,000 views and thousands of comments. The TikTok video has made thousands of viewers aware of the retailer. That retailers aren't just creating new products at breakneck speed. They're also simply tossing out what isn't selling. The video pans over several bikes still in the box or with tags on them from brands like Huffy and Schwinn. Well, what else would it be? It's all Huffy and Schwinn. That's all they sell.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody sell Raleigh's or Trex at Target.
No. Is Giant Huffy still a thing? Can I get a Giant brand bike still?
I don't even remember Giant bikes.
Oh, I loved mine. It's so good, but I don't know if they still do those. Actually, I'm going to look.
Yeah.
Let's see. Giant.
Monkey Bananas says Giant is a thing. And, Miss Carter J, yes, you can.
How do you know, girl?
How does your daughter know?
Yeah, what are you talking about? There they are. They're still doing them. They're good. They're good bikes. Ooh, they have electrics now? Ooh.
All right. Jedi71 with the winning comment. I'm just going to relay this because listeners who don't show up to the show live would miss a gem like this. Okay. But basically, he quotes Ringo. don't send me any more Target bikes. They're going to get tossed after April 18th. I warn you with peace and love. Don't send me any more bikes.
Wow. That's perfect. Nice reference. Deep cut for some. You may have to look that up.
Fantastic. Well done, Jedi 71. You've won the morning.
Carter, why are you bike shopping? You have that bike in the garage. It's your bike. You have a bike that I don't know if she's even ridden yet. You got a bike. Don't look for bikes.
She can do what she wants. Wheels on there and stuff. It's a little old, Scott. It's what they call a balance bike.
That is true. Although you'd look
no pedals.
She's wearing the coolest. Okay. You know, when you and I were buying Chuck Taylors in the 80s, they were just the canvas, you know, flat footed whatevers. That's just what they were. And that's all you could ever get. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but they've got Chuck Taylors that are amazing now. Like,
oh really? No, I haven't
big,
seen
big thick soles and just really? Like they're expensive, but they're really nice. And she walked out in a pair today that made me wish I had a pair. I may have to get me some of those Chuck Taylors. Oh. They've come a long way is what I'm saying. Anyway, it's not important here. Why weren't the bikes donated or sold at a steep discount? Well, Target lists many global philanthropy and environmental objectives on their corporate website, but notes they do not donate merchandise under any circumstances. Bicycling has contacted Target for comment. Bicycling Magazine, that is, which is also bicycling.com. Unfortunately, this kind of waste isn't reserved for Target alone. In recent years, fashion brands and other retailers have come under fire for throwing away merchandise that does not sell at a certain time frame, even if it's new or still in the box. There are many reasons for this, from the legal and tax implications for donating goods to the simple desire to keep the supply and demand at the level that it is. I think that sucks.
It does suck, and I feel like it's BS, right? I mean, if they donate it, isn't it like a tax break for companies?
Yeah, it's not going to hurt them on taxes.
It doesn't hurt them on taxes, right?
No, exactly. That will always be a benefit. I think it's more about controlling supply and demand. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to totally boycott Walmart. I like Target. I'm just going to boycott Walmart.
Do another store. I'm going to boycott Kmart because then in case I need to go, at least they don't exist, you know? Yeah, that's lame. I think people should call them out. I think that sucks.
Yeah, it totally does.
All right, here's the thing you don't want to do unless you want to go to jail. Maybe people do. I'm not saying you don't want to go to jail. Maybe you do. I don't know.
Maybe you do want to go to jail. Maybe you like the food.
Yeah, especially
and
if you're...
And the bro time. I don't know.
The bro time. Oh, the bro time is the best bro time.
The bro time, yeah.
So if you're an angry IT admin, maybe don't do this. He wiped his employer's databases and as a result got 7 years in prison. Oh, man.
Oh, geez.
That's a lot.
I'm on my way out.
Guy's name is Han or Han Bing. If it's Han, then Han hacked first, I guess. I don't know. A former database administrator for Liangia, a Chinese real estate
broker.
Never
tell me the passwords.
Boring conversation anyway. Dad! Chinese real estate brokerage agent, or a giant rather, has been sentenced to 7 years in prison for logging into corporate systems and deleting company data. Bing allegedly performed the act in June of 2018 when he used his administrative privileges and root account to access the company's financial system and delete all stored data from two database servers and two application servers. This has resulted in the immediate crippling of large portions of their operations, leaving tens of thousands of its employees without salaries or for an extended period, and forcing a data restoration effort that costs roughly $30,000 American dollars. The indirect damages from disruption of business are more damaging. Let's see, they operate thousands of offices. They employ over 120,000 brokers, own 51 subsidiaries, and its market value is estimated to be about $6 billion. Anyway, yeah, but don't be doing that. That's bad. Mm-hmm. You're going to get in trouble. And someone in the chat says backups. I don't know how they do it over there. Maybe he hacked the backups. Maybe he... I don't know what
he did. They should have an offsite backup. Come on. What's your backup strategy? Come on.
But even if they did, this would still be as illegal.
Well, yes, for sure. Yes.
So it doesn't like, oh, well, you had a backup.
It cost them $30,000 of restoration. It would have been like, oh, okay, well, we'll send Bill to the dry storage facility and grab our stuff and... You cost us 15 minutes. Oh, Han Bing.
Okay.
Joy you only prison, have, Handler Bong.
Yeah, you only have to go there for a year then instead of the seven. Exactly. No, you go for the full schmear. All right, here's a cool story about a pilot.
Okay.
Well, not really for the pilot. The pilot's kind of sad. The pilot was down. Okay, so the pilot passed out.
Sure.
And passengers had to take over a plane with no idea how to fly and land the damn thing.
It's another movie, a TV trope, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Like this happens all the time.
I hope he was on the radio. What do I do? I don't know what to do.
Now, calm down. Tell me what you see. You have an instrument in front of you. It's going to say altimeter or ALT. I've seen this movie 1,000 times.
We have, exactly.
A passenger with no experience flying radioed an urgent plea to help when the pilot of a small plane suddenly fell ill in off the Florida Atlantic coast and was unable to fly. So this guy was able to land the plane safely with the help of air traffic controllers. I've got a serious situation here, he says. Sounds like the movie. The man said Tuesday afternoon, according to audio on liveatc.net, a website that broadcasts and archives air traffic controller communications.
I've only ever played Flight Simulator in Excel.
Yeah, and it's never presented me with this problem. The pilot has gone incoherent. I have no idea how to fly this plane, he says. Oh. An air traffic controller in Fort Pierce responded, asking if he knew the position of the single-engine Cessna 208. I have no idea. I can see the coast of Florida in front of me, and I have no idea, the passenger said. Uh-huh. Anyway, talked him through it, and they were able to land.
And I imagine
thing.
There were a bunch of guys standing around the person on the radio at the airport wearing short-sleeved white shirts with ties, yep, who all applauded as soon as the yep plane landed safely.
Yep, like a mini NASA success, uh-huh, or something.
Yep, exactly. Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Clapping.
And then the main guy wipes the sweat off his brow and says, I need a drink.
I mean, it's basically the drama version of Airplane, right?
Right, exactly. Which was the comedy version of every other movie that did this.
Yeah. Passenger, whatever. Or no. What was the old flights?
Airport 77.
Airport,
like all
77.
Those movies. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
You
got to film sack that shit.
We do. Man, the days when movies put years in the titles of their films. What's the, Blade Runner 2049 doesn't really count. When was the last time a movie was released with the title of the year it came out?
So if we don't count, the obvious one's 1984, but we can't count that. Let's say...
Was there a Dracula 2000 or something like that that came out in 2000?
Yes.
Or Frankenstein 2000 or something?
No, it was Dracula 2000 and it was...
2012. Of course, TV's Travis.
Oh, 2012.
Yes, that did come out in 2012. Yeah, good job.
Buffalo 66, they say. Death Race 3000, that doesn't count. We're not there yet.
It's not counted yet.
No. Where it's in the title?
Yeah, 2012 is the... Because that... Did that come out in 2012 or 2011?
No, it came out in 2012. It actually competed with that Battleship thing.
That's right.
And I'm here to tell you.
2000, that's another good one.
I think Battleship 2000, or I think Battleship is better than 2012.
I agree.
Better film, yeah. It got less hype, but it's better. Uh-huh. I can't think of any others. Really, Tom? I heard Dracula 2000's horrendous. Like, one of the worst things that... It's what's his name? The Halloween guy. I can't think of his name. Who directed Halloween?
Yeah.
Frank Stickman.
The only name. I know it's not Cronenberg, but that's not leaving my mind right now.
John Carpenter.
Oh, Carpenter. John Carpenter,
John Carpenter made Dracula 2000, I think. And it's supposed to be a real shit show.
Interesting. Maybe we need to sack it.
Yeah, Tom Norman says it's good. So now we have
Benjamin
to.
Oh, says that we started to watch it for FilmSec and then vetoed it? Really?
No. We may have, and then it got pulled. We didn't stop it because we didn't like it. That's definitely not one of those vetoes. I'm sure of that. But we may have said, hey, next week is Dracula 2000, and then it got pulled like it always that happens. That happened this week. We were supposed to be doing... I'm glad we didn't do it.
Yeah, Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, wasn't in the mood.
Come on. Tom Green and Crispin Glover and Bill Murray and...
Just wasn't in the mood. I don't know why. So what are we do? What are we doing instead?
We're doing the Italian Job.
Oh, yeah, the Italian
Transporter
Job.
Transporter 1 also removed, even though the other Transporters still just fine.
Yeah, they're just all there. But we're gonna watch people in Mini Coopers. That was the movie that made me want to get a Mini Cooper.
It was all Mini Coopers, exactly.
Yeah, I love that car. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Steven Schleicher will be here. Yeah, that's right. It's Monday. I'm going to catch up on what's happening in the nerd world. That'll happen right after this song that Brian brought.
Ah, it's time for a little pop, a little indie pop, and totally digging this. On June 10th, Jamie Drake is going to be releasing her album called New Girl. It's her brand new album coming out via Anti-Fragile Music. That's another great name. This is the title track from the album, little bossa nova influence on this one. The song is called, it's the title track, so the song is called the same thing as the album, New Girl. Here's Jamie Drake.
Here it is. We'll be right back.
Stop trying not to feel cold. Going into the first grade and neither new school. I am only 8 years old and I just lost my friends. All the way back in Florida for these Ozark mountains. I'm always the new girl, the new girl. I'm always the new girl.
The flow of time.
All right, we're back, everybody. That was weird. I apologize.
I want to ask
everyone.
You about that. So first off, the song you just heard was Jamie Drake doing New Girl from her upcoming album, which comes out June 12th. June 10th.
June 10th.
Right, so was that like, that was really Alanis Morissette, but it was like slowed down and then sped up like,
yes.
Ramped up, right?
So basically, I found this account where all they do is ruin songs by changing the pace, or not the pace, but like the tempo or the pitch,
yeah,
or whatever. And it's like all sorts of stuff. Like here's the Smash Mouth song, but in polka form.
Oh, all right.
It's pretty wacky. I'll send you the link to it.
Send me the link to that one. Yeah. I mean, would you like to know the only times I ever look at TikTok? Yeah. When Scott sends me a link. Basically, it's then. And then I'm like, all right, well, let's see what else is going on. And
that's because you haven't sussed out your algorithm yet.
I know. I haven't got time to suss out an algorithm because it's like, oh, it's another person dancing. And yeah. Oh, no, it's another person who is just miming the lyrics to some audio thing that I've never heard of. Oh, yeah. And here's another one where some person is playing both the roles of her mom and herself when her mom tells her to do something.
Yeah, it's like basically you're at the baseline of content.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. I need to just sit there and do that. Maybe that's what I'll do on the plane is 3 hours of TikTok. I'll pay for
Wi-Fi and do it that
pay
way.
Pay for Wi-Fi and just get my algorithm, spend the 3 hours fixing my algorithm on TikTok.
And the real trick is just you see something you like, you stay there for a sec. You maybe like it or something. Yeah, and then if it's someone dancing or singing, freaking flick past that thing as fast as you can.
Can't flick past it fast enough.
Yeah, and then it'll go, oh, okay, we see what Brian likes. And then it'll be nothing but horse porn like you like. You like the horse
porn.
And
of course, I'm already following Claire. Come on now. Of course.
Yeah, we follow you and your dog. All we get is dog videos. Hey, Claire.
It's a bunch of sausage, like super long-haired sausage dogs.
Yeah, why don't you just branch out a little bit?
Yeah.
You know? How about a little bit of something
else? How about you do some dancing?
I don't know what song that is. I love it, though.
I don't either. I just, that's everything I see on TikTok.
That's really great. All right. Let's get Major Spoilers all up inside this thing here where he belongs. Damn it. Here you go.
Steven Schleicher.
Hey, look who it is. It's Major Spoiler's own Steven Schleicher from Hayes, Kansas, joining us as he does every Monday to talk about comics and pop culture and movies and other cool stuff. Steven, welcome back. How are you?
Hello, I'm good.
That's fantastic. Hey, I had a great time on your show last week, by the way. That was really fun.
Oh, good. I really enjoyed it. It was really a lot of fun. People, if you didn't listen, you missed out. You need to get over there and check out last week's Major Spoilers podcast with Scott Johnson.
Yeah, it was very good. And I actually, our comics discussion was good, but we just went places I didn't expect, and it was just a lot of fun. So do check it out. It was very good. Steven, here as always, talking about some cool stuff. It looks like that new Daredevil series on Disney Plus is real. That's happening?
Yes!
I mean, is it happening? They've hired a couple of writers to do the showrunners of the show and write the series, but I mean, Marvel and Disney haven't really announced anything, but I mean, you kind of knew that there was going to be a Daredevil series when Charlie Cox shows up in a Spider-Man movie and they put the whole series on Disney Plus. Also, Vincent D'Onofrio showing up. I'm going to spoil it. I don't care. It's been 6 months, Scott. If you haven't seen
Hawkeye.
Yeah, the Hawkeye series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kingpin shows up in that as well. So, you know, it seems pretty spot on that we're going to see another Daredevil series sooner rather than later, although 2024, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're not.
Mm-hmm. 2025. Yeah,
no time soon. Yeah. And, you know, the fact that we got Jack of Hearts at the end of Loki, I mean, I feel like that, you know, that means we're ripe for a Jack of Hearts limited series on Disney Plus as well.
Yeah. I'm just hoping someday we get a Stiltman series.
Oh, Stiltman. Sure. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, though, MODOK, Brian, is not coming back to Hulu. So.
Oh, shucks. Well, maybe someday I'll watch the rest of the season after I stopped at episode 5.
That's a bummer.
Apple TV still was reminding me, like, hey, you still have MODOK to finish. I'm like, yeah, that's all right.
You know what keeps happening? What is this curse about? Because it continues to be the truth that DC original animated projects are great. Like that Harley Quinn series, freaking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then Disney does anything animated, non-live action, and it never does good. I don't understand.
You mean Marvel, whoever.
Yes. Like when Marvel does anything like whatever they do, like I'm trying to, you know, MODOK's good example.
Their original movies that they had back in the early to mid 2000s were just the worst things ever.
But Disney animated Marvel, What If, fantastic.
Yeah, that's
Oh, really. Yeah, if you count that, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I count that because it's Disney and Marvel and it's animated.
I mean, and if you count all the
It's weird. It's anthology, Marvel, though. It's not the
animated
same.
Kid shows on the Disney Plus and other places. Those are pretty good, too.
Those are okay, too.
Have you watched any of Spider-Man's Amazing Friends?
I haven't watched I haven't watched that one, but my oldest was super into the... it was like Little Avengers. They had these little warped big head thing Avengers thing in the day. Yeah. Oh, man, he loved that nonstop. And in fact, he picked up a lot of his Marvel vocabulary as far as who are the characters, what's their backstory from just watching the cartoon. So when it comes time to going into a movie, he's like, oh, yeah, I know who Doctor Strange is. I know who, you know, the Watcher is. So he knows all these things just from watching those cartoons. So don't dismiss the cartoons, but definitely dismiss
dismiss
the
anything Marvel that was movies. Not Disney.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
All right. So let's say they you know, we've got all these great things coming out. We've seen trailers for She-Hulk and Ms. Marvel, and we know Secret Invasion is coming. We know Ironheart is coming.
Fantastic Four is coming.
Well, I'm talking about like a series, Disney series.
Disney Fantastic Four
is supposed to be a. But all right. So let's say Disney is going to announce another animated Marvel series. Something that hasn't been.
Oh, well, they've already announced X-Men 97, so that one's out too.
Yeah, okay, that's true. That one's kind of
a weird one.
But let's say, like, Howard the Duck. Would that be the right way to do a Howard the Duck thing?
See,
do it as
I think
animated?
If they did, it would again end up on Hulu because I think Howard the Duck is just a little bit too avant-garde for mainstream Disney.
Hitmonkey did well, and I think was really? Very good. You didn't like it?
I watched the first episode. I was like, nah, okay.
Oh, really? Oh, no, you need to continue with it. It definitely gets better, and I was hooked by, a third of the way, halfway through the season.
Here is a really good series that would work great as an animated series on Disney Plus, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
For
those who are not aware, tell me about Devil Dinosaur. Who the hell's that?
So Devil Dinosaur is a dinosaur from the dinosaur times.
Okay. All right. Really selling me. Keep going.
Uh-huh. And Moon Girl is a little girl who has the ability to, she's really smart, but she also has the ability to communicate with Devil Dinosaur. And they go out and have incredible adventures together. Right now in the comic books, Devil Dinosaur, I guess, is lost in time. Okay. And so she's teaming up with like Wolverine and Captain Marvel and all these others to go out and try and find her dinosaur. So what was it? It was Moon Boy and Devil Dinosaur. Moon Boy was the original. But
He would ride Devil Dinosaur.
Devil Dinosaur is a big old red Jack Kirby creation.
The little Moon Boy guy looks like a little Wolverine or something.
Yeah, kind of. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
That would be that show, I think, would work as a really good animated show.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Could be a fun, sardonic good time.
Ecstatics might be a really good animated. Because then you can get your dupe. And I don't think any of the other Ecstatics members.
Was a big guy?
On.
The big guy? Was he in the Ecstatics? No. Who am I thinking of?
You think the strong guy?
Strong guy. Yeah.
Strong guy. Yeah. No, that was X-Force.
Force. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, Ecstatics was the Mike Allred X-Men series, and that would be a great one to adapt. Especially, man, if you could capture that Mike Allred style.
For
the animation, holy cow, that'd be epic.
Yeah, there have only been a few times where people have actually taken someone's style and put it into the comics. Now, there's jumping over to DC Comics really quick. They have a House of Mystery, which is a bunch of their animated shorts, and they do it in a bunch of different styles, including a Blue Beetle one that's done in the old, old Spider-Man series from the 60s kind of style. It's really cool. When Disney did Atlantis, it was all the character design was all based on Mike Mignola's artwork. And so it would be interesting to see something that is just straight up, let's take Allred's work or Kirby's work and just give them those very different looks. For those of you that don't know, Mike Allred has, you would think of that as a very pop artish kind of style.
Very Lichtenstein.
Lichtenstein. Yeah. I was just going to say that. And also very thick outlines around all the characters.
And one of the most brilliant first issues I ever read of a comic book was Ecstatics number one. It was completely not what I was expecting. Mm-hmm. So good. Mm-hmm. What about Impossible Man? Could we do an Impossible Man without the Fantastic Four?
I don't think you could.
Huh. You don't think so?
Okay. Maybe. No, I don't know.
I'm looking at it.
I'd have to think about that.
He's a goofball, that guy. Look at him. He's weird looking. Yeah, I don't. These characters are kind of new to me, but I'm down for it. Like, the reason I brought up that Harley Quinn series is that Harley Quinn series is like funny, raw, has heart, is somehow, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know why it's as good as it is. And so they just need to make something good. That's all. Animation's hard. All right. I get it.
I mean, Drunk Commissioner Gordon, Insecure Batman,
right.
The whole Joker story arc is great.
Yeah, the Commissioner Gordon's freaking amazing. Like, and who is it? It's played by...
It's Kaylee Cuoco, right?
No, not...
She does Harley Quinn.
Yeah, not... Yeah. We asked who... We said who
Gordon.
Plays Commissioner Gordon.
Oh, you're talking about Drunk Commissioner Gordon?
Yeah. I said, who plays Commissioner Gordon? You said, Kaylee Cuoco.
I just heard it's played by who again?
Gotcha.
I heard it's. I didn't hear the.
No, I gotcha. Hold on. I'm going to find this because it's
I'm looking it up really
it's
quick.
It's something
too.
Amazing.
It's Christopher Maloney.
Right.
Oh, Christopher Maloney. Sure.
He's so good in it. It's amazing. Anyway, Dietrich Bader's an excellent Batman. Plays an incredible Batman. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which he's done in some of the serious ones, right? This isn't his first time to that rodeo, I think.
He did the Batman in Batman Brave and the Bold.
Yeah, that's right. Which is just a little bit more of a serious take. But he's good at it. He's just a good thing. Oh, Alan Tudyk as Clayface is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys, if you haven't watched that show, it's freaking fantastic.
Yeah, Ron, is it Fuchs? The guy who does King Shark punches. He does King Shark, which is great.
Really? I haven't gotten to that yet. I'm still early on.
J.B. Smooth plays Poison Ivy's main plant, is really great.
Lake Bell is Poison
Ivy. All the voice acting in this is just, it's comedy
gold. HBO Max, Claire.
Yeah, HBO Max is where you'll see that. It's excellent. It is sweary and bloody. Just know that. Mm-hmm. So when you look at it, you'll be like, oh, this looks like the cartoons from the 90s with Batman. But woo, the Band-Aid is off.
It looks like that, but it does not go like that.
No, but it's also got a lot more heart than you'd expect, despite all of that. It's a very, very sweet little thing. All right. Well, there's that. So new Daredevil. Let's look forward to it, I suppose.
Yeah, someday. Someday it will happen. But I would say, I know that Kevin Feige has said Charlie Cox is our Daredevil. Mm. But if you're looking at 3 more years from now, there may be a different Daredevil under that mask.
It could. He could do it, though. He's not old.
Yeah.
You know, he's still a young man.
I mean, but he may not be interested. He may be out doing other things.
Well,
it's true.
Well, the thing is, you don't hear a lot about Charlie Cox outside of this, do you? I feel like I don't. Like, what else?
He did something recently
that
I was like, oh, Charlie Cox is in this? And then I watched it. It's like, yeah, it's okay.
So yeah, he might want Daredevil back is what I'm thinking. I could be wrong. We got Eisner Award nominations.
Oh, yes.
So this is happening.
Yes. So a couple of things.
Yeah.
Whenever Scott gives me a chance to make recommendations on this show.
Yeah.
There's generally for a reason. So, for example, Nightwing 87, which I mentioned quite a while ago because they were doing this whole polytriptych thing where the whole issue was just one giant panel. Although they didn't actually do it as a polytriptych fold out. It was just, you had to turn the page. But it was just one giant panel to tell the whole story. That's up for best single issue.
Yeah.
When we look at continuing series, Nightwing is also up for that. If you're into cryptids and UFOs and all that stuff, James Tynion IV and Martin Simmons have the Department of Truth, which is up for best continuing series over at Image Comics. I mentioned multiple times, Scott, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, which is True Grit, but with Supergirl.
Yeah.
That is up for best limited series.
That's cool.
And it is really good, as is The Good Asian over at Image Comics as well. It talks about, it's a fictionalized account of the first Asian detective in Hawaii who comes to San Francisco to solve a crime. And I got to tell you, if you're the first volume, Volume 2 really goes places. It's like 9 issues, I think, total in the arc.
Yeah.
But it ends, Volume 1 ends, or Issue 5 ends with this real kind of, did they just do that? And then by the end, you're like, oh, they didn't. And fantastic series right there.
Is this the Tom Tate, by the way, the Nightwing run you're talking about with the single panel and then the rest of that series? That's currently the Tom Taylor's writing that stuff,
Tom
right?
Tom Taylor, yes. Dude. And Bruno Redondo is actually up for best artist.
Those guys are great together.
For his work.
Absolutely love everything Tom Taylor writes. That guy's amazing.
Yeah. When we look at best writers, I've mentioned multiple times the Reckless series from Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. Ed Brubaker is up for best writer for his first two volumes of that from Image Comics. And let's see, James Tynan is up, of course, for everything that he does. He is a writing fool at this moment. Also, Kelly Sue DeConnick's Wonder Woman Historia has up for several nominations as well. So there is a lot of stuff. If you just go over to the Comic-Con International website, comic-con.org, you can find a complete list of all of the nominations for this year. And if you're looking for great comics to read, if you certainly look at the, you know, the best series or the best limited series or the best one shots or whatever that they have up there, you're going to find some excellent comics.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a great yearly way to kind of catch up on stuff maybe you're behind on or you didn't know about or you didn't know were as good as it is or whatever. Like who knew that Nightwing 87 was, you know, breaking records? And
it is. It really, I mean, just because of the way that they were doing the story, I reviewed it a long time ago, back in December when it first came out. And it's really a fascinating way to tell a story. I'm not sure it's super successful, but just because they were doing something radically different, I think is the reason why it got
it's worth honoring that. And for those that get Tom Taylor and Tom King mixed up, don't worry. They're both amazing writers. So if you get mixed up and you end up reading Tom King or Tom Taylor, it doesn't matter. They're both amazing. Yep.
Yeah. You're going to get some great stuff out of both of them.
They're the excellent Toms currently working today.
I love the excellent Toms.
Yeah. The excellent Toms performing this week at the community theater. All right. Well, that's great. Yeah. Go check it out. That's over at, of course, the comiccon.org site has all these awards laid out, which is what you're linking to on your site. Hey, Steven, anything else going on there on Major Spoilers?
Wrap with the stuff, I want to ask Steven if he's excited about Marvel Snap.
Oh, yeah, I meant to ask that, too.
Oh, is that the video game?
Yeah.
It's the new it's the new card Hearthstone-style card game.
Yeah, I was so wrapped up with the DC Multiverse or whatever that game is, because there's a whole bunch of discussion about that I kind of missed the Snap announcement. So I was kind of like, okay, I'm not sure what this is yet, and I haven't really had a chance to dive into it. But
man, watch one of the Ben Brode's been putting up these amazing videos on YouTube showing actual gameplay. I am so excited about this. I want somebody. Is there somebody second dinner in our family of Tadpool listeners?
You gotta be somebody. Like
I've got a Fire 10 Amazon Chrome tablet here waiting for a beta.
I want to play pretty bad. It looks awesome.
The thing that looks the most amazing about that is what they claim is the zero wait time.
Yeah.
Because instead of waiting, you know, for in Hearthstone where you got to wait for that fuse to go all the way to the end for the other person, it's like everybody's turns are going one right after the other.
Simultaneously, and 3-minute games.
Yeah, like, 3-minute games.
Man, that's a play it on the toilet game if I ever heard one.
They had me at 3-minute games. I mean, really and truly, like if my mobile game to really shine for me, it needs to be quick in and out. I'm out of there. Yes. Let's play. Let's go.
Right.
And then also in one of the gameplay videos they showed, I was really impressed with how when the cards are kind of flying in and flying out of play, that really cool pseudo 3D effect that they've got.
The 3D effect is amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. But I noticed Angela in there, and I almost texted Steven and went,
She's been at Marvel for almost a decade now.
That's crazy to me. It's crazy. They haven't used her. She just sort of does nothing.
Well,
that's right. She was Spawn, right? She came from Spawn.
I don't know how that deal worked out.
It's really weird because this happens both at DC and Marvel because they're like, hey, let's invent a character who is an angel. You mean like an angel, like a religious angel? Yeah, and let's put her into a comic book.
That's really nice.
And then it's like, okay, I'm not sure that that's going to work for very long. And sure enough, both Angela and what's the guy's name? Zuriel over at DC Comics both kind of came and went fairly quickly because of, I'm not saying it's because of religious reasons, but it's really hard to, you know, put a literal angel of God into a comic book and make that work.
Well,
especially
also,
one that's dressed all sexy.
Yeah, and I also, the biggest problem I have with it is she needs Spawn to be to be important. Like, I don't mean that she can't do something on her own. It's just that she was set up as a character to be an antithesis to what's happening with Spawn. Right. And so that mattered in the context of that story. And she was beloved over there. To separate her out and send her on her way without that antithesis is it's just a weird move story-wise. Yeah. I just don't know how you get around it. You got to create something new, you know, and that's fine. But has anybody done anything with her enough to, or cared enough about it to do it? It seems like not. So I don't know. Bums me out because she's cool.
Yeah.
She's cool. She just sits there. But she'll be in this game.
If you guys haven't, you need to go watch the third season of Love, Death, and Robots out now on the Netflix. Yeah.
Hit Friday, right? I think.
Yeah, you can watch it all under 2 hours, which I did last night after we got home from our art vacation. And there's some really good stuff in this one. There's a very much a Cthulhu-themed one. The Night of the Mini Dead is very funny. The one you see in the trailer for the show, Jabaro, is fantastic. I mean, just brilliant as far as the art goes.
So I put off the second season. I didn't put it off. I just haven't gotten around to it. Do you think it's a good time to like binge all of it?
So I, you know, when season two came out, I binged through it, and I thought for the most part it was good. I thought overall though the season was average as far as the stories went.
Yeah.
But this one, I think there was only one that I didn't care for out of all of them, and even though it was the one I didn't care for, it's still incredibly executed, and it's actually the very pulse of the machine, which is a Hugo Award winning short story that's adapted here into this, and even that was really, really good. So I think that would be the one that I liked the least, but they are all fantastic.
Okay. I'm in. I meant to watch. Yeah. I was going to try to watch before Wednesday for my recommendal, and I just haven't had time. Kim got
I don't know. Everybody's going to have a different view on some of these shorts because of the animation style and the stories that are being told, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I might say, Scott, just jump right into season three and then go and watch season two. There's no reason to watch any of these in any particular order.
Right.
But you might want to just jump right into the new stuff.
Okay. No, I'll take that recommendation. It seems like the way to go. But I have been hearing good things, so I'm excited to get back to it. I anthology animation is one of my favorite things in the world.
Yeah.
You'd think that I would finish the Marvel one.
The longest piece is 21 minutes long. In this thing, so
21. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm in. Cool. Sign me up. Steven, what else is going on at Major Spoilers this week?
We have this week on the Major Spoilers website, of course, with The Rings of Power coming out very, very soon, 4 months now, on the Amazon Prime. Ashley Victoria Robinson has been doing a deep dive into all nerd things having to do with essentially the Silmarillion.
Yeah.
And so if you're trying to figure out, okay, what does this mean? Who's this actor playing? Those kinds of things. She's been doing a weekly series over there at majorspoilers.com. And I think we're into like part 12 already of it. And it's always fascinating. And if you want to get nerdy, she's definitely got that over there for people to check out. It's The Rings of Power. Let's get nerdy over at majorspoilers.com.
If I listen to that and I pay attention, will I have passed the test and recede into the West and remain Galadriel? Will that happen?
Only if you can find four of your friends to jump on the bed and scream, it's Scott, wake up, Scott. Oh,
good. Okay, good. Boy, that's a weird scene, isn't it? I love Return of the King, but man, what a weird moment. All right.
One more thing. Sorry. I know you want to go and do other more exciting things than hang out with me, but speaking of Ashley Victoria Robinson,
yeah,
many of you, if you don't follow her, she is the spokesperson, camera talent person for all of the Reed Pop events that are coming up. And Reed Pop is the one that puts on all the big conventions and stuff, including this week's Star Wars event that's going on. And so they're doing a bunch of videos and stuff for that. And she has been hired as the in-camera person that gets to go to all these conventions and interview awesome people.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
She'll do great.
Your Star Trek daughter is going places.
Well, you know, when she was little and we were raising her, I knew she was going to go on to do big things. So congratulations. Now, she's perfect for that stuff. That's really great to hear. Well done. How about my water intake? You have any thoughts on that?
Oh, you should also stay hydrated. Oh,
okay, great. We'll see you later. Bye. Okay, this time I didn't remove him as my friend. I just removed him from the group.
Right, just like, we're not, we're never friends anymore, Steven. Yeah,
that's it, Steven. I hope you had fun while it lasted. Because you're out of here, buddy.
Jeez.
All right. Couple of quick things. We got a TMS Origins mashup to play.
I love these.
This is the Red On Air Light origin, Brian. Oh,
awesome. All right, great.
So chat room, this thing I'm putting up right now, whenever we show this, because one of us is distracted.
Great is if the one that Jamie needs to do is the Red On Air Light one, because that, I think, is my favorite.
Why didn't I think of that? That was perfect. That was a perfect way to deal with that. Nicely done. All right. Well, here it is. Let's find out how it started. I already know how it started, but let's hear it in raw audio form. And the worst part about this is I know I'm the one that did it first. I hate that it was me, but it's okay. It's fine. Here it is. I'll just cringe through it. Enjoy. Bill, as always, great stuff. Do you have any, you got a little bonus thing for us this week?
Sure do. My friend Laura Kopf over in Germany made a project that you guys might be interested in. She built a small podcasting studio in a briefcase. Look at
that. Oh, that is so cool.
It's really cool.
Wow.
Oh, look at this. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, she got a cool looking old metal briefcase and put a pair of microphones in it so that you can open it and the microphones fold out so that each person, the two people, can face one another and have a microphone in their face. She built a mixer into it and everything. It's so cool.
I do like that. Whatever mixer she's using, that's a cool one. I've never seen that. But
she also put a little red on air light on the outside of there. So just so in case anyone at the Starbucks doesn't know you're recording a podcast right now, you should be quiet.
Oh, that's really cool.
At the Starbucks near my house, at any given time, there's five people recording a podcast. Okay. So they have the whole podcasting section.
Oh my gosh, she did an on air light on the edge of the thing.
Yeah. Holy
oh
shit.
My gosh.
Did you not hear Bill just say that?
Sorry, I've been looking at this video like so focused I didn't hear him say it. This is so rad.
No, this is so cool.
How do they power it? How's it powered?
I think it's a wall power. I think it's just got a little 12-volt wall wart. You just plug it in.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. There's like a red on-air light on this thing.
Like you've never not heard a thing someone said on the show before.
I totally haven't. Just...
Like that's you the guys. First time it's ever happened. Hey, everybody, check it out. It's Justin Robert Young joining us Oakland, California. Justin, welcome and hello.
Am I not getting your video?
Oh, no.
We're using Skype now.
Yeah, we use Skype for video and Discord for audio.
Discord for audio.
Yeah. This is after
Skype
months.
Skype was getting all janky.
Months
did
of
you guys,
experimenting.
Did you guys notice that there was a red on air light on that thing?
Like nobody's ever done that before where they were.
I was just curious whether or not you guys had noticed that.
They weren't paying attention.
I do that probably 10 times. For every Scott's one, but I have to take advantage of that moment when I can.
Happens, it happens. I forgot. He would have been on that same day, I guess, and come in there.
Came in right after Bill. Yeah. Well, back in the day when we had Justin and Bill on Tuesdays.
Yeah, Tuesdays were actually for... Oh, yeah, that's right. They were both on Tuesdays. Then for a while, Bill moved to Monday. No.
Right. Yeah, Bill moved to Mondays with Steven for a little bit.
Oh, that's right.
And then moved back to Tuesdays.
Yeah, and then Jerry got busy and said, I can't do this anymore. And then we moved him back to Tuesdays. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. All right, well, there you go. Now, if you all want to know where that came from, now you know. All right? Mm-hmm. It was me.
Now you know the origin of the...
So whenever it happens now, we have this cool thing. It's a meme. It's one of our memes here on the show. And works out great. All right, that's going to do it for the show today. Again... I want to remind people, I said it at the top of the show, I'll say it again for those who miss it, because someone always misses this. Mm-hmm. There is no TMS tomorrow. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll be in a dental chair when we're recording for about 2.5 hours.
Oof.
Having horrible things done to my face. And that's happening. So I won't be here tomorrow. As a result, we'll just make Wednesday extra special, you know?
Oh, that'll be good. Yes, because we'll have Tom. We'll have recommendals.
Yep. Yep, and I'll be...
I think it'll be my last double recommendal, right? Because then the next week it's... I take that back. We do have one more Wednesday, so...
Yeah, I think we have 2 weeks till... Right? Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, we have 2 weeks till we have the quartet, the recommendal quartet.
They're all packed, I think, and ready to move. And maybe they're moving now. Is that the deal?
No, they're still working on selling...
Oh, I thought they'd sold.
They had a buyer fall through that really threw everything into a tailspin.
That's not fun. I hate that. That's not fun at all. But it's a buyer. It's a seller's market, so they should be able to quickly lock somebody in. Should be okay. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're moving to Missouri, the great state of Missouri, It's the opposite of legal weed in Missouri. So
that's right, exactly. Yeah.
Enjoy.
Colorado, just, you know, whatever. They didn't feel it here in Colorado. So we got a little taste of the Spagnolos in Colorado, and they just said,
We don't need weed. We don't need legal weed. We're gonna go get weed where it's illegal. It's the good stuff.
Exactly.
Anyway, so good luck to them. Patreon.com/TMS is where you guys support us, and those who do, you have our undying thanks. We need you now more than ever, and it'd be a great time to join up, even though we're kind of late in the month. Still time to get in before the end of this month and get this month's benefits. Head on over to Patreon.com/TMS for details. That's going to do it for today. Brian, you want to play a song that will last everybody an extra day since we won't be
here
tomorrow?
This will have to be one that does that. Hey, Brian from Denver wrote in, not me. Ooh. I would have remembered if I did this. He said, "Hi guys, my birthday is on the 24th, which is tomorrow, and I thought I'd request a song. With the warm weather finally here." When did you write this? Oh yeah, you wrote this on May 16th, yeah. I'm in a good mood and would love to hear some female vocals in a dream pop kind of genre. The Sundays come to mind, for example. I'll leave it to Brian to find the right one in his vast library. Thanks for all you do. And is it too early to hear Brian ask for a fish sandwich?
Oh, do you want to hear your version of it? Hold on.
That's what he wants to
hear. Right. I assume he wants the recorded one and not you doing it live. I guess he didn't say, but let's see if I can find it.
Any of the above.
Let's see. TMS Common, did I put it in here?
Hey, it's too early.
No, that's that guy.
Hey, is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
There he is. I think your extra uhs are good. I actually prefer them. I prefer them. You know how you Mandela certain lyrics or words or whatever?
Yeah, now you hear. I think that might have even done that. Like when I was doing it, I may have even thought there was an un there. Like I thought it was more of a stammer.
I prefer it. But anyway.
Anyway.
There you go. Happy birthday.
Let's get to, this is brand new, I think even as of this weekend. And as soon as I heard this, I thought, oh, this is cool. And it's going on TMS in the first space it fits. It fits perfectly in this space because it is the thing. It is dream pop with female vocals. A band that normally isn't known for female vocals, Portugal the Man. Percussionist Zoe Manville takes the lead vocal reins on this one for a cover of Sublime's Santeria. And it is total dream pop. It is total awesomeness. This was recorded for Amazon Music. Here is Portugal the Man. I guess here are Portugal the Man. It seems weird to say here are Portugal the Man. Here is Portugal the Man, but they're the band, with a cover of Sublime's Santeria.
Thank you.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Risotto con tartufi.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.